And we'll go to the book of John, chapter 13. John, chapter 13. The Gospel of John, chapter 13. And we'll begin reading in verse 1. John, chapter 13, and verse 1. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil, having now put in the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth up from supper and laid aside his garments, and took a towel and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? And Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. I always kind of chuckle when I read that. Oh, it wouldn't be good if we had that type of attitude. Jesus said, I want to do this for you. Say, oh, no, not just that. Do this too. I want more, not less. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him, therefore he said, Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet, and had taken his garments, and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye not what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye ought also to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. Neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. Now, Father, I thank you for the Word of God that we read, and I just pray you would bless each one with understanding of your Word of God. Help me to be a blessing as I preach it. Again, we want to pray for those who are hurting and those who are not here. We ask you to help them. And Lord, particularly Brother Carl, Sister Alvon, as they're going through the struggle with Brother Carl falling, and Lord, and they're even now at the hospital, I just pray for them. Lord, there are others that are not here for different reasons, and they need help too. So we just ask you would help them. And Lord, we just thank you for that we can be here and we're able to be here. And Lord, you've provided for us so well. And we just ask you to bless each one. Thank you especially for our visitor today. Just pray you'd bless her and that she'd walk away having met with you. And Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity we have. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, you know, when I read this passage of Scripture, there's one single word in this passage of Scripture that I just read to you that amazingly, as far as I can tell, as far as I understand and have read through my study, Jesus only uses this word one time in all the Gospels. Now, it's many places in the Bible. But in the Gospels, where we hear Jesus and we get the understanding of Jesus' relationship with his disciples and the things that he told him, there's a word that is only used once, at least to my understanding anyway. And that is the word happy. That's the word happy. This place where he used the word happy. And it's kind of an amazing thing about when you look at that, you would think with all the Bible talks about Christians rejoicing and Christians having joy unspeakable and full of glory and peace and all the things that we have and contentment and all the things that is given us and is our birthright by virtue of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. This word is one that Jesus only used one time, and that's right here in this passage of Scripture, and it's the word happy. So I'd kind of like to formulate today's message in the form of a question, I guess. And the question is this: are you happy as a Christian? Are you happy as a Christian? That's an important thing. You know, the Bible has a lot to say about happiness and what true happiness is, and the world has all their ideas of happiness and what happiness is, and the world's ideas of happiness are almost invariably selfish and self-centered. We know that. But I want you to look at the Scripture again. It says this. It said in verse 2, it says, "And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter said unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. And that is an absolute spiritual truth. You know, the Bible says unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. And in Revelation 1:6, if you have not been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, and I'm talking about spiritually, not literally in the sense of you putting literal blood on your thing. I'm talking about having received the spiritual benefits of the blood of Jesus covering your sins. If you've not trusted Christ as your Savior, you have no part with Him. If there's ever been a time in your life where you realized that you were a sinner and that you deserved God's judgment for your sins, you literally deserved hell, and you came to the point where you realized that Christ was your only hope, that Jesus had died for your sins and He paid the penalty for your sins, and there's never been a time where you personally put your faith and trust in Christ as your Savior, you don't have a part with Him. It's not enough to just know about it. It has to be personal, doesn't it? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. There's a personal aspect there. There's an acceptance of that He is the Savior and I'm the sinner, and He's my only hope of being saved, so therefore I must call upon Him. I must put my faith and trust in Him. And if you've not done that, you have no part with Him. And He's trying to, He gives Peter that understanding. But my hope is that everybody here is genuine in their profession of faith. I don't know anybody's heart but my own. But the reality is, and we accept that, but we accept people's statement of faith. And my hope is that everybody here is clear on that. But, if you're not clear on that, I kind of hope you'd be like Peter and say, Lord, not just my feet, but my hands and my head, just let me get this settled right now. I want to know for sure my sins are forgiven. I want to know for sure I'm saved. And the wonderful blessing is you can know. 1 John 5:13, what does it tell us? These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life. Not just hope so. And that's the message we get to take to a lost and dying world. You can know your sins are forgiven. You can know you have a home in heaven. You can be reconciled to God. And that is the greatest message. And you know, the sad thing is too often we don't take it out the way we ought to. But the reality is you must be born again. You must be washed in the blood of Jesus. You must trust Christ as your Savior. And if you don't, if He doesn't wash you, you have no part with Him. And so He made that clear. And Jesus saith unto him, verse 10, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all, for he knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet, and had taken his garments, and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done unto you. Now, I want to, before I go on, I want you to understand that one of the people whose feet he washed was Judas Iscariot. If I believe, unless Judas had already gone out, maybe Judas has gone out at this point, I don't know. But if he washed Judas's feet, that kind of gives me the idea that it's not enough to play church like Judas did. I mean, Judas walked with him. You can't play church and get to heaven. You've got to be a participant in this. You've got to desire to be clean. And you know, that's where a lot of people are. A lot of people come to church for just the purpose of appearances. And I hope we don't have anybody like that here, but it just, you know, you notice what happens there. And we've all had occasion where we've had people be in a church that we thought were saved, and you'd have thought that their life, and then they come forward and they make a profession of faith. You know? I've known many people have made a profession of faith one time and then come back and made a profession of faith another time. Brother James Crumpton, his daughter was on the mission field, married to a missionary, and had grown up in a pastor's home, and you would have thought she was everything that she should be, but there came a time where she said, you know what? I've just been doing this to keep up appearances. That's a lot of willpower, isn't it? Yeah. And she finally humbled herself and called upon the Lord and got saved. And praise the Lord for every time that ever happens. You know, I would never say to anyone, well, I thought you were saved. You've been lying to us all this time. I don't care about that. If you're not saved, you need to get saved. You need to trust Christ as your Savior. I won't be anything but happy. And so if you're not saved, you need to be. But Jesus asked him the question. He said, know ye what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye ought also to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. And then he says this. He says, if you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. Now let me go back to the question, are you happy as a Christian? When so many times in our Christian life we get caught up in the idea of what God is supposed to do for us. We get caught up in that idea of the blessings that God gives us, and they are many. We get caught up in all the benefits of salvation. And yet for all that, it's preached day after day and year after year and has been preached decade after decade and century after century. And even millennia after millennia. Millennia being 1,000 years, right? It has been preached, all of these great benefits of salvation, and yet in the lives of so many people that profess to know the name of Christ, there's an undercurrent of unhappiness, of sorrow, even sometimes grief. They may see somebody else who is seemingly happy in the Lord and they're like, I'm not that way. Why don't I feel that way? Why don't I have that? And that has been a case throughout the Scripture. You know, there was a fellow that was serving with Paul. His name was Demas. And for one reason or another, he quit. Paul said, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. We have all types of scriptures, and we know it by the people we've known in our life, and we've seen it, and maybe we've experienced it. But the sad thing is that so many people are not happy as Christians. They're not happy as Christians. And Jesus said this. He said, if you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. What things? Well, let's look at what he said. He said, you call me Master and Lord. Well, first of all, he said, know ye not what I have done to you? Do you understand what I have done to you? Do you understand what Jesus has done for you? Do you understand what he did? Not just in washing the disciples' feet, but in humbling himself and becoming the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world, becoming that sacrifice. Going all the way back to the time where God told Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac, and Abraham accounted that if God made this promise, he said, "In Isaac shall thy seed be called." So if I do this thing, God is going to raise him from the dead to keep his promise. And we go back that, and Abraham says to his son, my son, God shall provide himself a lamb. And then, of course, we know the story how God provided the ram caught in the thicket. But later, he provided the lamb on that same mountain, the mountains of Moriah. That's where Calvary is. And that is where Jesus died for the sins of the world. And we go, I could spend a long time talking about the different things that he has done, but he asked the question, he says, know ye not what I have done to you? Sometimes we can't be happy because we don't fully understand what Jesus has done. We don't take the time to think upon it. We don't take the time to meditate on it. We don't take the time to remember. And he says, you call me Master and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye ought also to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. He's saying, he said, I'm your Lord and Master, and you say that well. He said, if I've washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. If I love you, that much, if I'm willing to humble myself, to bless you, you ought to be willing to humble yourself to bless your brothers and sisters in the Lord. You ought to be able to do that. You can go over to the in here in the book of John. He said, "By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one toward another." Right? You go over to the book of 1 John. It talks about how we ought to love one another, how we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren, and talking about giving and the different things that we do. I know there's a group of Baptists called Primitive Baptists. That they used to call them foot washing Baptists, because they made this an ordinance of the church that they would come in and wash one another's feet. But I think Jesus is talking about more than literally washing one another's feet. You know, if somebody's foot needed to be washed, it would probably, we would think that, I don't want to wash anybody's feet. And some of us might say, "Oh, I don't want anybody to touch my feet, because I don't want anybody to see my feet." I mean, that may be the way we are. I know of a lady who was had a lot of health problems, and another lady went, and she was having a bunch of foot problems, so another lady wanted to be a help to her, and she went and got her an appointment to go and have her feet done, and have a I don't know what do they call
a pedicure.
That's what they so they go in there and wash and clean and cut the nails and everything, just a full thing of all that stuff she wanted to do. That some of you ladies are looking up here like, "Oh, that'd be just wonderful. I'd love to have that." And but this woman, because of whatever reason, she was like, "I don't want anybody to see my feet." She was embarrassed. She was ashamed. And, you know, that's kind of how we are. When Jesus first comes to us, isn't it? We're ashamed. And, you know, he got as far down into the dirt as you can, because he bore sins in his own body on Calvary's tree, didn't he? And he says, "You ought to be the same one." He said the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither is he that is sent greater than he that sent him. And so he says, you ought to take care of one another in that way. And you ought to humble yourselves and realize that you're the servant, I'm the master. If I can do this, you can do it. And he said, if you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. We rob ourselves of happiness because we won't humble ourselves to be a servant to one another, to help one another, to be there for one another. We rob ourselves of happiness. We know this. Everybody knows what Jesus said, but he didn't say, "If you know this, happy are ye." He said, "If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them." But we don't want... We get to the point where we don't want anybody to help us because we don't want to ask for help because we're too proud. Or we don't want to humble ourselves to be willing to help somebody. Especially our brethren. And I can confess right now, I tell people all the time, if there's any way I can help you, let me know. And I don't know, I mean, they may ask for something that's outside my power, but I'd at least like to have a shot at it, right? Or I might be able to turn them to, or go to somebody that can help. I don't know. I mean, we as a church, we can't always help, can we? And it's frustrating when you try to want to help and somebody doesn't want to help. I tell people all the time, call me. You can call me anytime, day or night. If you need me, call me. I find out there's been something go on, and I say, why didn't you call me? Well, I didn't want to wake you up, preacher. Anytime, day or night. Now, the funny thing is, you're all going to start calling me in the middle of the night now. But that's okay. That's okay. That's all right. But the reality and the truth of the matter is, so often we offer help and it's never received as genuine. And it's no wonder, because so many times we're not genuine in our willingness to do it. And people learn that. And I want you to notice something about this too. And I want you to think along these lines about when we talk about washing people's feet. Jesus washed their feet to make them clean. And when the reason they had the custom of washing people's feet, because as people walked through the world from day to day, it was all dusty and dirty and muddy and things like that. And so when they walked into a house, one of the first things they would do is they would offer to wash their feet, because their feet got dirty. They may have taken a bath and a shower and been clean every whit and been clean from head to toe, but they got out on the road, they went to where they were going, and by the time they got there, their feet were filthy. And so they would wash their feet. And that washing of their feet, it was a refreshing thing, and it was a healthy thing. And Jesus has washed their feet, and he says, look, I've already cleaned you. I said, but you need to wash your feet. And there's a lesson there to be learned, isn't it? We touch this sinful world so much, we need spiritually to be cleaned again and again. Yes, Christ has shed His blood for our sins. Yes, He's washed us from our sins in His own blood. But the reality is, because of our contact with this world, because we're still in the world, even though we're not of the world, we still need cleansing. That's why 1 John 1:9 is in the Bible, right? If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's there. And so Jesus uses that picture there, just like we talked about salvation. But just likewise, we have a part in that too. We're told, if you go over to the book of James, for example, at the end of the book of James, I believe it is, at the end of the book of James, it says in verse 19, it says, brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him that know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. We're told in the book of Galatians, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. I believe it is. It says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou be tempted also. We're told to do that. We ought to be the ones that talk to one another about the Scripture and about what God's been doing in our life. And if you learn something from the Scripture, take it and share it with another brother or sister, because you might just be washing their feet. You come here and you sit and you hear the preaching of the Word, and I use illustrations and examples and all types of things that to try to help you see what you need to see. And it's not just the preacher that gets to do that. We get to do that for one another. We can have a part in what Jesus is doing. But we have to be willing to do it. We have to be willing to take the moment, to the time to do that. We have to be willing to be willing to help. And it's not just Scripture, but it may be just being a blessing. Just being kind. Right? Just taking the time to be kind to one another. Being willing to help. Being willing to humble ourselves. If our Lord and Master could humble Himself such, why can't we humble ourselves? Why can't we just love each other the way we can? Love enough to care. Love enough to help. Love enough to be there. Love enough to get dirty if need be. And I'm talking about getting our hands dirty, not our hearts, by the way. Love enough to just be a blessing. I mean, we're told to love our enemies, to bless those who curse us, to pray for those who despitefully use us. How much more, our brothers and sisters? How much more? Now, if you're playing church, there's no way you could possibly ever be happy as a Christian. It won't last forever, trust me. But if you're a child of God, if you say, "Preacher, I know I'm saved. My faith and trust is in Jesus. I believe with all my heart that He died for my sins. And I believe that He rose from the dead. He's paid that penalty in full. And that He's the only way of salvation. And I have put my faith and trust in Him. I call on Him. He is my Savior. My faith and my trust is in Jesus Christ and His death on the cross. He paid the penalty for my sins. He's my only hope of heaven. I believe that with all my heart." Are you happy as a Christian? You see, in this day and age of Christianity, all our focus on happiness and so much stuff, if you look at what's on television and what's being preached so often, it's always about what God can do for you. If you had enough faith, you'd be wealthy. If you had enough faith, you'd have money. If you had enough faith, you'd be healthy. If you had enough faith, you'd be this, you'd be that. Jesus didn't say that. The only place He uses the word happy is when He says, "I, your Lord and your Master, humbled myself to wash your feet." And if I can do that, shouldn't you do that? If I can do it, shouldn't you do that? And so, He says, if you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. If you know them, happy are ye if you do them. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll close out the service today. Father, You know every heart. You know what we need. Lord, there are many, many places where happiness is talked about. And there are other aspects to it. There are things that if we see them correctly, that they can bring happiness into our life. But here, You related our happiness to being willing to see that we're servants. That You are our Lord and Master, and we ought to follow Your example. That the things that You have done for us, we ought to, whatever level we're able, do for our brothers and sisters in the Lord. Help us, Father, to do that. Help us to find that happiness that You've promised. Lord, we already know these things. But so often we neglect to do. And so we sacrifice the happiness we could have as a Christian. I pray, Father, that You would use the Word of God to help this church and anybody else who may hear this message that's a believer. We just pray, Lord, that You'd use this message to work in our hearts to where we could be happy as a Christian. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.